This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Inshallah, we will start at 6:30, inshallah. We should be in a few seconds, I guess, from now, inshallah. Bismillah wa alhamdulillah. Salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I ask Allah Rabbil Alameen to bless this Ramadan for all of us and to accept our fasting. I know some of us have not yet concluded their first day of fast, and some of us have, and they're about to start the second one. So no matter where we are at this moment, I ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to make it easy, to accept it, to facilitate it, to answer and accept our dua, and to bless us into greater goods of and acts of righteousness, things that help us in this dunya and help us in the akhirah. Ameen. Inshallah, this is what we're going to be doing, inshallah, throughout the month of Ramadan, if Allah Azza wa Jalla enables us and gives us the strength and the ability to continue, which is every single day we will do daily motivations, 10 minutes, inshallah, where in one day we will focus on a story and the benefits of that story from the Quran, and the next day we'll focus on a hadith from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, hoping inshallah through all of this to keep us connected and motivated, enlightened, for us to learn something new and maybe discover something in familiar stories and discover something in hadiths that we have heard before that we can inshallah benefit from practically for our day in our Ramadan. So our appointment today, inshallah, which is the first meeting, the first lecture, the first motivational and inspirational story, is the story from Surah Al-Baqarah, the story of the cow. And it's famous because the story itself lends or gives its name to the entire surah. So Surah Al-Baqarah, right, comes from the story of Al-Baqarah. And I know that we know the story. I know that we've read it so many times. But what I want you, inshallah, for the next few minutes is to try to imagine that you haven't read it. Imagine that you're meeting this story for the very first time. And when you're reading this story, the first thing, I don't know if you've noticed it or not, you begin the story from the middle, not from the beginning. Allah Azza wa Jalla begins the story from the middle, not from the beginning. He delays the beginning all the way to the end. And only at the end you'll discover what has happened and why Allah Azza wa Jal is asking them to kill that cow. But we begin by وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِقَوْمِهِ, where Allah says that Musa is telling his people that Allah commands them to slaughter this cow. We don't know why. The only thing we encounter is Musa asking his people, slaughter this cow, and the people going back and forth with him, alayhi salam, to ask him why, how, describe it, and are you making fun of us, until the end, where he describes it in full, alayhi salam, and they go and they slaughter it, reluctantly, Allah tells us. Now ask yourself, why is it that Allah Azza wa Jal delays the story, the beginning of the story to the end, and we meet them in the middle, having this argument? It is as if, subhanAllah, that Allah Azza wa Jalla is telling us. And this is the feeling that you get when you hear that story. It does not matter why. It does not matter what happened before. What matters is that if Allah commands you, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تَذْبَحُوا بَقَرَةً, Allah commands you to slaughter a cow, when you keep hearing this from Musa alayhi salam coming to the people, your reaction as a person of faith, as a person who loves Allah and loves Musa alayhi salam, is to say, what is stopping you from doing all this if Allah is commanding you? And Allah wants you not to notice the why of it, but to notice the command itself. That is, regardless of why Allah was asking them to do it, they were supposed to do it. The why is irrelevant once Allah is asking. Now, This is about trusting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is about the fact that even though you cannot connect all the dots, even though, especially if you are an overly rational human being, you don't see the connection between A and B, but Allah tells you there's a connection between A and B. Once you believe in Allah, once you trust Him, once you love Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will see the connection between A and B, or believe that it is there even if your eyes cannot see it. Because then, if you were to know at the end, that the reason why Allah had asked them to do this was that somebody was killed and they were searching for the killer, and Allah asked them to slaughter a cow, you, as some of them may have wondered, what is the connection between this and that? Someone has just died and we want to find the killer, and you come to us with the news that Allah is asking us to slaughter a cow. Now, if you are a person of faith who believes in Allah Azza wa Jal, it does not matter how Allah is going to reveal the killer, how Allah will solve this problem. What matters is that at this moment when you asked Allah, the response was, do this. And once you do it, Allah Azza wa Jal will guide you to the solution. No matter how, Allah will guide you. But you believe that if you listen to Allah now, Allah will guide you to the solution then. This is about trusting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, believing in al-ghayb, believing in the unseen, believing in what you cannot see, but Allah can see. And so if they trusted Allah Azza wa Jal, they would have immediately followed His command, slaughtered the cow, discovered the killer, and they would not have gone to all of these stages of describe this cow, describe the color, describe what it does, help us to find it. As the Sahaba of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have said, if at the beginning of that command they would have slaughtered any cow, it would have been sufficient. But they complicated the matter for themselves, and so it got complicated for them. Until it is said in the tafsir, until it is said, because of their repeated questions, right, that choices were limited increasingly as they asked for more and more details, until it was only one cow that they could slaughter, and they had to pay its weight in gold. Like the cow's weight in gold. The owner of the cow would not sell it until they would give them the weight of that cow in gold. Whereas if they had complied in the beginning, they could have slaughtered any cow and it would have been sufficient. Now they took a piece of the cow, they hit the dead body with it. He rose from the dead and he said, so-and-so killed me. The connection was with Allah Azza wa Jal. Now, a lot of us, right, have stories. And yes, we may know the beginning of the story and the middle of the story, but the end is missing in our life. Meaning some of us know our problems. I know I have a problem. And I don't know the conclusion. Where is the solution going to come from? How will Allah help me? How will Allah guide me to what is going to save me from harm? I don't know. I know the beginning of the story. It's because it's my story. I know how it started. I know what I'm going through at this moment, but I don't know the end of the story. And our situation is not unlike the situation of Banu Israel with Musa alayhi salam. If you're going to give your problem to Allah Azza wa Jal, you're supposed to trust Him like Banu Israel are supposed to have trusted Allah Azza wa Jal. And if Allah is trusted, He will guide you in unexpected ways to what benefits you. You may not be able to see it, but Allah sees it. You may not be able to connect all the dots, but Allah Azza wa Jal knows how. A sacrifice is going to reveal the killer. And Allah will know how your sacrifice will lead to your salvation, or you will lead to your recovery or protection from harm, or to the answer of your dua. Allah knows it. If you cannot see it, Allah sees it. So we may not have Musa alayhi salam coming and telling us Allah is asking you to slaughter a cow. But if you have a problem and you read in the Quran or you hear from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that Allah is asking you to stop this particular sin or to make more dua or to pray or to give sadaqah, and your mind or somebody comes and tells you, how is this going to solve my problem? Remember the story of Al-Baqarah, the story of the cow. Because once you listen to Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah Azza wa Jal will release you from sin and pain and hardship and sickness, and will answer your dua and will guide you to your benefit in this life and in the next one. But what he wants from you and me is not objections and rebellion. What he wants from you and me is to trust him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you trust him, he will guide. Now, there are other benefits that you can find in that story, right? One of the benefits of the story is that if you are a person who is reminding people to come closer to Allah, reminding them to stick to righteousness, to avoid sin, you will be mocked and ridiculed. You will be rejected, as Musa alayhi salam was ridiculed and was mocked, was in fact hurt. And in this particular story, what do they say to Musa alayhi salam? أَتَتَّخِذُنَا هُزُوَا? Are you making fun of us? Are you kidding? Which is completely offensive when speaking to a prophet of Allah Azza wa Jal. So if Musa was accused like that, if you're going to give someone advice, expect that at times they may mock you, they may reject it, they may make fun of you. So accept it, expect it, and continue to give them advice for their benefit. For their own benefit. Why did Musa alayhi salam continue to give advice? For their own benefit, to save them, even though they harmed him. He did not quit and he did not give up on them. So there is benefit in that. If you love so-and-so, give advice for their sake and expect that they may be ignorant and too shallow at that moment to realize the benefit that you are giving to them. An additional benefit in it is that if we reject Allah's command and keep fighting with it, this only complicates our own lives. It doesn't harm Allah Azza wa Jal. It doesn't harm our other people, but complicates our own lives. The story or the proof of that is in the story. Because Banu Israel, as we said, if they have just listened to Musa from the first time he said slaughter, they could have slaughtered and bought any cow and could have solved this problem sooner. Because they kept resisting Musa alayhi salam, their life got more complicated progressively. The more that they delayed Allah's command, the more that they delayed saying yes to Allah. So if we meet Allah Azza wa Jal in the Quran and he says something to us, we encounter Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Sunnah and he says something to us, and we keep saying no to them, no, no, and no, we're only doing that each day. We're complicating our own lives and inviting more harm and more difficulty. Whereas if we just say, Sami'na wa ata'na, we hear and we obey, Allah Azza wa Jal, subhanahu wa ta'ala, solves all our problems as quickly as we respond to him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So our compliance means also our comfort. Surrendering to Allah Azza wa Jal is our joy. Resisting him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, complicates us, complicates our relationships, complicates our iman, complicates our life in general. So the story of the people of the Banu Israel and the story of the cow is very significant because it tells you something about the entire surah, but it tells you something about our relationship with Allah Azza wa Jalla and our trust. And another benefit in it is that sometimes Allah Azza wa Jalla will solve your problems unexpectedly, not in ways that you can expect or fathom or calculate. There's a dead body. How is the killer going to be revealed? Allah only knows. The dead comes back to life. And he says, so-and-so killed me. Now, my problem, how will it be solved? How will I get my job back? How will my son or daughter be cured? How will my relationships be reformed? How will I talk again to my parents? How will I survive? How will I survive my depression? How will I survive my Ramadan? How will anything happen? You may not see it, you may not be able to understand it, but if you trust Allah and you give your best to him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, the solution is with him, and a lot of times it comes unexpectedly in ways that will surprise you. So it's not only based on reason or based on calculation, it is based on how Allah Azza wa Jal wants it to be solved. So trust him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Banu Israel were supposed to trust him when Musa said, slaughter a cow. And sometimes that cow is something that is dear to us, something that we need to give up for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. That cow sometimes could be a sin. That cow sometimes could be a sadaqah that we give. That cow could be sometimes something, a salah that we're supposed to offer. Do this for the sake of Allah. don't, and you will not be able to see or expect the consequences, but trust him, and the consequences are with Allah Azza wa Jalla. So you ask Allah Rabbil Alameen, Arham Ar-Rahimeen, to make us of those who, when they hear Allah's command, they say, Sami'na wa ata'na. And they believe that if they obey Allah, that they will see the greatest benefit from him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the hereafter, most importantly, but in this dunya as well. And they will see it with their own eyes, in ways that they expect and ways that they do not expect. So we ask Allah Rabbil Alameen, Ya Allah, make us of those who rush to your obedience and rush to listen to you and rush to listen to your Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and allow us and strengthen our iman when we see the beautiful consequences of listening to you, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. To begin with, comfort with our hearts, but also to see physically around us signs of your power and signs of your rahmah and signs of your mercy, Ya Rabbil Alameen. So inshallah, we will be meeting with you bi-idhnillah Rabbil Alameen every single time, every single day at this time, 6:30 inshallah, p.m. Toronto time, 6:30 a.m. Malaysia time inshallah. Each day we'll talk inshallah bi-idhnillah for no more than 10 minutes inshallah. I know I went to about 15 today. We'll try to keep it to about 10 minutes inshallah. So today we did a story from the Quran. Tomorrow inshallah we'll pick one hadith from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We want to take that hadith and say, how can we use that hadith for today, inshallah. Then the day after will be another story. Then the day after will be another hadith and so on until, bi-idhnillah, we conclude the month of Ramadan. We ask Rabbil Alameen, Ya Allah, make the month of fasting easy for us. Make it a fasting of iman with ihtisab. Make that praying, night prayer in Ramadan easy for us. And make us of those who perform it, imanan wa ihtisaba, those who fast imanan wa ihtisaba. Remind us, Ya Rabbil Alameen, to continuously make dua in the month of Ramadan during the day and during the night. And remember, brothers and sisters, you have an accepted dua every single day and every single night. So take advantage of it. What do you want to ask Allah Rabbil Alameen? Ask him and keep asking him. Make us, Ya Rabbil Alameen, of those who remember you often. Make us, Ya Rabbil Alameen, of those who do righteous good deeds. Connect us to the Quran. Make us of those who give sadaqah. Make us of those who make dua for other Muslims. Make us of those who stay away from sin. Make us of those who are trusting you, relying on you, and who love you more than they love themselves. Ameen, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. We'll see you inshallah bi-idhnillah tomorrow at the same time. Jazakumullahu khaira. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.